I want to continue a kind of a series that I've been on for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's the name of the series is called No Day Workers. No Day Workers, and we've talked about what a day worker is. A day worker obviously goes and they work on a ranch for a day or two or a week or two, and then they're gone. When the chuck wagon pulls in from the Brandon, they pull out, they go to the next ranch. There's no real commitment to that ranch other than that day, and then they go on and they move on to the next thing. But then we compared that to a full-time hand. A full-time hand at a ranch is a guy that's committed to the ranch. He's got all the benefits of the ranch. And the ranch manager or the cow boss, he's glad that he's full-time because he can count on that full-time hand. And here's the thing that we've talked about. On God's ranch, there are no day workers. In other words, God wants us to be committed full-time hands for him all the time, every day of the week, every day of the month, every day for the rest of our lives. Amen? That's what he's called us to do. And in our church at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, here's the thing. We desire to create, we desire to equip you to be full-time hands for Christ, not just day workers. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what we've talked about for the last 3 weeks. Well, I've got a prop today, and I know not all of you can see this. Hey, by the way, Linda wanted me to announce this, that if you get the Woodward News and you get the free paper on Wednesday, there's a... What is it? Vote for the best church, and you can vote for Thousand Hills. I mean, we already know we're the best, but we could get that in the paper. I mean, that's just more advertising for free. Okay? So if you get the paper, you know, fill that out, turn that in. Well, I've got a little prop here today. Anybody know what this is? And I know everybody can't see it. We don't have the best visual over here. But anybody know what this is? This is called a branding pot. Now, we're not from Colorado, so it's not the pot that you're thinking. This is a branding pot. Now, I had my friend make this. It hadn't been used very much. I haven't had an opportunity to use it very much, but this is called a branding pot. And what you do is you get a propane tank, you hook it up, you fire it up, and you heat this baby up, and then you stick your brands in here like this, and it'll heat those brands up. There are three different types of brands, okay? I'm going to give you a little lesson. And I'm not a pro. Don't quote me on all this. But I believe this is brass. And this is my freeze brand. Anybody ever freeze branded anything? If you have registered cattle, you probably freeze brand them. It's kind of pretty. If you have horses that you like that you want your brand on, you kind of freeze brand those. This is a freeze brand. This is mine. And you put it in liquid nitrogen, and it gets it real cold, and then you stick it on the horse or on the calf or whatever, and it freeze branded them. Then you got electric brands. I don't have electric brand, but electric brands, obviously, you plug it in, and it gets hot, and then you fire it up, and you use it as a brand. In this deal, this is a propane pot that you would heat up. This is my great-great-grandfather's brand, an H. It's kind of cool. And then I have my brand, which this is a H as well, but it's in the Heather font, and my wife's name is Heather. So we wanted to honor her on every calf that we own. We put her right on the hip. Well, here's the thing. And when you're in the Brandon pen, and I want to show you a picture of a Brandon pen. It's right there. I took this picture at the Ivy Ranch in Canadian. And my buddy Marshall, he's in the sunglasses kind of on the left there, but he manages this ranch. You can see the branding pot right in the middle. Now, we're working two sides of the pen here. There's two cowboys on horseback. They'll drag the calves to the fire, to the ground crew, and then the guy on the far right with the cowboy hat on, the white cowboy hat, standing up. That's the brander, okay? His name's John Wheeler, and he's the only guy that brands. He works both sides. He's got 3 or 4 brands in there, and he works both sides, and he brands. Now, here's the thing. When you're at a branding, here's what you need to know. If you're running the shots or you're putting ear tag in, here's the thing that you need to know. You need to know that the brander has priority, okay? So if you're kind of doing your job and what you need to be doing your job, you know, giving shots or putting ear tags in, you need to realize that as the brander takes the brand or the iron out of the fire and he's headed toward the calf, guess what? He's got priority. You know why? Because the brand can only stay hot for so long, right? And so if he gets over there and you're in his way, he can't brand the calf and the brand gets cold and it wastes time and then the cowboys have to work longer and the cow boss has to pay him longer. Right? And so here's the thing. The brander has priority. He has priority over everything else that goes on in the branding pen. And here's the spiritual application for this. Here's what I wanted you to get out of this. God wants to see the lost, those that don't know Christ, he wants to see them branded for him. And here's the thing. His desire is for the entire world to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and be saved. But here's the thing. We've only got one shot. The fire and the brand one day will be cold. You know when it's going to be cold? The day you die. You know what else could happen before that? Jesus could come back. And so here's my point. We've got to be branding others for Christ and allowing Christ to brand them while the iron and while the brand is hot. And some of you guys might be thinking, well, it's the last days. I believe it's the last days. I believe we're living in the last days. Some of you guys believe that. Well, I'm not going to predict it, and the Mayans are obviously wrong. Here's the thing. As Christians, we are to live as if we are in the last days. So you get my point? I believe that the brand is hot right now, but it's not going to be hot forever. And branding takes priority. The truth is, as Christians, we are called to live as if it were the last days, if this was our last day on earth. And some of you, listen, some of you have friends, you have families, you have co-workers, you have all kinds of people who have not yet been branded for Jesus Christ, and they're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. And today is that day. Today is the day that God wants them to be saved, to come to him. I want to read you a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, but if not, they'll be on the screen. The Apostle Paul, which is, again, one of the greatest Christians known to the world, is writing to Christians, and he's also writing to those that think they're Christians, okay? Now, some of them had received God's grace and were saved, but some of them had not. Some of them had been deceived, and they felt like they had to work their way into salvation. And I want you to listen to these verses, verse 1 and 2. It says, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you." Listen to this. "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Now is the day of salvation. Let's pray together and ask God to bless the rest of the time together. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everybody that's here today. I thank you for those that haven't been in church in a while. I thank you that they're here. Lord, I pray today that those that maybe haven't been branded for you, that they would be branded by the forgiveness that they can find in you today. And Lord, for us as Christians, those that have already been branded, Lord, may you ignite a fire in us that desires to see others branded for you. You know why? Because the brand isn't always going to be hot. One of these days, we're going to die. One of these days, you're going to come back. And I pray, Lord, that I would be the best brander that you've got, branding others, showing others how to be branded by you. And challenge us today. Show us how to do that today. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Well, here's the point. Here's the question. How do we see others branded for Christ while the iron is hot? Number one is this. We have to be branded ourselves. We have to be branded ourselves. If we're going to show others how to be branded for Christ, guess what? You have to be branded yourself. You cannot take anybody to a place that you have never been. In other words, we have to know Christ personally so that we can share him. Look at verse 1 again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in what? In vain." You know what that's saying? Here's what it's saying. To receive God's grace in vain means that you have not really received it at all. In other words, he's extended it to you, but you've not received it. Therefore, you've received his offer and you've rejected it. In other words, people that just want their fire insurance. So they come to church and they act like a Christian. People that want to give God lip service, they may confess, but they don't believe. There's no sincerity in their life or in their heart. There's no true belief. There's no real intention to serving and trusting in Christ. Many people, and here's the truth, even in churches, many people are professors, but they're not possessors. I want you to get that. Maybe you've been in church all your life and you've professed it because your mama did. Your daddy did. I mean, that's just the thing to do. I mean, I've just grown up around it. That's just what you do. No, it's not what you do. It's who you are. And if you don't know Christ personally, listen, you are just a poser. And listen, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross so that you don't have to be a poser. So that you can truly possess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So here's the thing. For us to be used by God to reach the unchurched, to reach those that don't know Christ, we must be branded ourselves. And you say, well, I how do I know that I'm saved? How do I know that I've been branded for Christ? There are three things. Here's how I know, and here's how I recognize whether someone's saved or not. Here's the first thing. You have to be convicted of your sin. I mean, if I can go out and I can commit adultery or I can do something stupid and I can, just sin all I want and I don't feel any conviction in my heart from the Holy Spirit, guess what? Probably not saved. It's one of the greatest indications that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Not when you get caught that you feel bad, but before you even do it, something in your heart and in your mind, the Holy Spirit starts saying, no, it's not time. Don't do that. And when you do it, you feel like crap. And you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so listen, if you can walk through life, and you can sin all you want and live in a habitual sin or live in any type of sin and not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I would examine your heart. There's hope. You can feel that. Here's the second thing. You desire to live for Christ. Those that know Christ, those that have been branded for Christ, guess what? They desire to live for Christ. And you say, you know what, Bo? There are days that I desire to live for Christ and there's days that I don't. And guess what? That's just a part of life. But overall, you should desire to live for Christ because you've been branded for Christ. Here's the third thing. The third way that I know that someone's saved, or the third way that I know that I'm saved, I bear fruit. You say, what's that mean? It means that you start bearing good things, not just living for yourself, but you start bearing good things. Look at Matthew chapter 7 up on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 23. Listen to what it says. It says, and he's talking about posers here, and he says, this is how you'll know if they're a poser. Verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree, which is a believer, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day when the Lord returns, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. You know what that's saying? It's saying if you're a true believer, guess what? You're going to bear good fruit. You're going to be a person that lives and desires to live for Christ. And again, not everybody that says, I'm a Christian, is a Christian. There's got to be some fruit in our lives. And you say, well, what's the fruit? Love, forgiveness, joy, peace, winning souls, desiring to serve the Lord. Those are all fruit that we're supposed to bear as Christians. True believers consistently bear fruit. And let me show you this again and remind you of this. It's not our fruit that saves you. There's a lot of people that want to work their way into heaven. They want to go, hey, I'll just be a good person. I'll be a moral person. It's not about your morality getting you into heaven. It's not about you being a good guy. Good old boys go to hell. It's only those that know Christ personally that make it to heaven. And so again, your works don't get you in. It's true salvation is by faith in Christ, and that produces the fruit. And so listen to that. So number one, you've got to be branded yourself. Maybe you need to examine your heart today. And you need to say, am I truly branded for Christ? Do I truly know him? Number two is this. If we're going to see others be branded while the branding iron is hot, number two is this. We must realize that the iron's hot. We must realize that the iron is hot. Look at verse 2. It says, for he says, in the time of favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know what Paul is telling them and he's telling us? He's saying, I helped you, or Christ helped you. Christ heard you when you called out for salvation, and he saved you. And guess what? Now is the time for others to hear. Today is the day of salvation. The iron is hot, and Jesus Christ desires to see others saved by his grace. Can I just tell you this? At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, I believe that the iron is hot. You know how I know the iron's hot? In the last 2 years, we've seen over 26 people give their lives to Jesus Christ and be baptized. And you say, well, that's not very many people. That's 26 more than we had before. Some churches don't even baptize one individual in their church. So you think, no, we're just going through the motions. No, we're not. The brand and iron's hot at Thousand Hills. You know what else we see? We see cowboys and cowgirls walk into our church that would never walk into the doors of another church. You know what that shows me? That the branding iron is hot. Amen? Here's what else I know, and here's why else I believe that the branding iron's hot. I have seen more people come back to church that haven't been in church in 10 or 20 years. And they're committed to Christ now. They're committed to growing in his word. They understand what it means to be a Christian. And they desire to worship and to glorify God. And we're seeing that more and more often. And you may be one of those persons that was the case. You may be that dad that never came to church because all the church was for women. And now you finally got a church that actually wears boots and has poo all over their boots. And meets in a cell barn that smells like money. Yeah. And guess what? It's intentional that we did that. You know why? Because we desire to reach men for Christ. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're the one that the iron is hot and you can still feel the burn because you've given your life to Christ or you're on fire for Christ. Here else is how I know that the iron is hot. God is working in miraculous ways to allow us to build a covered arena so that we can reach unchurched cowboys and cowgirls. And you say, how has he done that? Many of you guys may not know this. We just purchased 30 acres debt-free. 30 acres. We had all of the architectural work donated. It didn't cost us a dime. We had all the closing costs donated. Didn't cost a dime. We had all the contracting stuff donated. It didn't cost us a dime. And just the other day, I got a phone call by an individual that's on our arena building team. And he says, I talked to an individual, and guess what? All the dirt work is going to be donated by an individual. Now listen, if you don't believe the iron's hot at Thousand Hills, you're wrong. I believe the iron's hot, and we need to be branding others and seeing others come to Christ while the iron's hot. And can I just tell you this? Jesus Christ has only scratched the surface on what he wants to do through this church. And I'll just tell you this as well. It's all for his glory and our good. It is. And so how do we see others branded for Christ? We have to be branded ourselves. And number two, we have to realize that the iron is hot. Today, now is the time of salvation. And here's number three. For us to see unbranded or unsaved unsaved people come to Christ while the iron is hot. Number three, we have to be evangelists. We have to be evangelists. And you say, well, what's an evangelist? I'll explain that in a second. The brander, I'll go back to this. The brander has priority. In the branding pen, the brander has priority. You know what has priority in all of our lives? It's the same thing. It's seeing others branded for Christ. You say, well, what's the greatest passion that you have as a preacher? You know what my greatest fulfillment is? It's seeing others see Christ for the first time and come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. You know why that's my greatest gift and my greatest reward as a pastor? It's because it's eternal. It's not money. It's not buildings. It's not a covered arena. It's not all those things, even though those are all blessings. Do you know what? You know what they do when they give their heart to Christ? It's an eternal thing. And you say, well, what does it mean to be an evangelist? Well, to be an evangelist, it's simple. An evangelist is someone who shares the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. You say, give me some examples. Billy Graham. Anybody heard of Billy Graham? The greatest evangelist that ever walked the face of the earth. There's other evangelists. Ken Freeman. I don't know if you ever heard of him. His son is a great friend of mine, me and my wedding. Great evangelist. Luis Palau. Stephen Baldwin, the actor. He's one of the greatest evangelists that I've ever seen. You say, I didn't even know he's a Christian. He was in, you know, Young Guns. Remember that? You remember that? Does anybody know the movie Young Guns? Emilio Estevez? Okay. Stephen Baldwin, in the movie, listen, he gave his life to Christ, and guess what he does now? He reaches all the skaters, all the punks, all those guys for Christ. Stephen Baldwin, the actor, one of the greatest evangelists of our day. And you would say, well, you know what, Bo? They've got the gift of evangelism. And while there is a gift that some people have and not everybody has, guess what? We're all called to be evangelists. You say, no, I'm going to leave it to the preacher. Some people call me and they're like, oh, I want you to talk to this person. You know what I do? I hand them a Bible and I say, here, you talk to them yourself. I love it. It's fun. Because they get to experience someone coming to Christ themselves and not just passing it on to the preacher. Now, again, you say, well, you know, what about all these events? You know, all of our events are great. We have cowboy events. We got our cow dog trial coming up, colt starting competition. We're going to have some ranch rodeos. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. What about all the dances? What about all the church services that we have? Here's the thing. The goal of everything that we do at Thousand Hills is to see the lost saved. It's to see the unforgiven forgiven. It's to see those without hope to find hope. And that's why we do what we do. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. It says this, but set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this in gentleness and respect. You know one of the greatest things that we do wrong as Christians? We try to shove Jesus down people's throats. Anybody ever had a friend or somebody try to shove Jesus down your throat? Anybody ever tried to shove Jesus down someone's throat? Guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know what the Bible says? It says be ready to give an answer, but do it in gentleness and respect. You know one of the things that I try to do every time I go into a Brandon pen? I try to earn the Cowboys' respect. You know why? Because if I can earn their respect and I can serve them and I can do my job to the best of my ability, guess what? God may give me the opportunity to share the gospel with that person. There are cowboys that I get to ride with, and I get to take pictures and do some ranch photography and all that, but I get to ride with them, and for 2 years, all I've done is tried to build respect. And you know what my prayer is? That God would open a door so that I can lead them to Christ. And there's cowboys, you know, the only time they call me is when something's wrong. You know what? I love it. All the work that I put in to try to develop relationships, and when things go wrong, you know who they turn to? They turn to me. You know who I turn them to? I get to turn them to Christ. And so here's the thing. You say, well, you know, I'm not an evangelist. Yes, you are. We're all called to be evangelists. There's another scripture, and I'm going to wrap it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at it. Paul says this about us. He says, we are therefore, and he's talking about those that know Christ, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? It's a representative of someone else. In other words, we're representatives of Christ. And it says this, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, and here's the message that we're supposed to share, be reconciled. In other words, be made right with God or to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know what Paul is saying there? He's saying we're ambassadors for Christ. You know what your job as a Christian to do? Is to share what the brand looks like of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. And that's what God has asked us to do. And you say, well, Bo, I need something more tangible than you just telling me to witness or to be an evangelist. Well, your prayers have been answered. Some of you guys, your worst nightmare has been answered. Because here's the thing, at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, guess what? We are never going to ask you to do something that we don't equip you to do. And because I've challenged you to share your faith with others, guess what? I'm giving you something that'll equip you to do it. You may be old, you may be young, I don't care. I don't care how old you are. God wants to use you, and you are here today, and he is equipping you to share your faith with someone. You may be a teenager, you may be an old woman. And guess what? The old women that you play pitch with need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get some clapping from the old women? Yeah. Yeah. And I mean that with all the respect that I have. I love old women. Some of you men, listen. Some of you men, you come to the cell barn almost every week. And you sit by the same people every week. Guess what? Maybe that relationship that you've developed with those guys that you sit by at this cell barn, they need to hear about Christ. And you say, well, no, they can see it in my life. I don't cuss, I don't chew, and I don't date girls that do. Listen, that's just part of it. You say, well, are we supposed to live for Christ? Absolutely. Are we supposed to allow him to see Christ in our lives? Absolutely. But that's just a part of it. You know what else we've got to do? We've got to open our mouths. When their life's going down the tubes, we got to say, hey, guess what? Here's where I find hope. I find hope in Jesus Christ. He's the only reason that I'm still with my wife today. He's the only reason that I have healthy kids. He's the only reason that we got through the death in the family. He's the only reason that I have a reason to live. He's my hope. He's my salvation. He's the reason that I breathe. And those people need to hear that. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. It's your lucky day. Anybody got one of these? Pull them out. I want you to pull them out and look at them. Everybody should have got one. If you didn't get one, we will get you one before you leave today, okay? If I can get a Hattie team member to grab those and have them ready. If we don't have any, we'll get you another copy. Here's the thing. You say, how do I share the gospel with someone? How do I make sure that they have the opportunity to be branded? And we have these Bibles as well. These are cowboy Bibles. It's just the New Testament. Here in the near future, we're going to have the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, available for free. And here's the thing. The Bible has every answer to every question in life. You don't believe me? Read it. You'll find all the answers. And you say, well, how do I use this Bible? It's really simple. And this purple sheet is a little extra thing that we're going to give you. But if you'll open this cowboy Bible, it says, the way of the cross leads home. And it will give you all these scriptures that you can read to your buddy who comes to the cell barn every day, to the old lady that you sit by a pitch. And you can say, I want you to read this verse, and I want you to tell me what it means. And you can go through that. And then at the very end, it has a prayer. It has a prayer. And listen, it's not just about confessing. It's not just about praying a prayer. It's about, again, believing. It's about trusting. It's about giving him your heart. But the purple sheet does the same thing. How to share the gospel. And you say, what's the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. You say, okay, Bo, how do I do it? How do I do it? And here's the thing. God works in mysterious ways. There are times in my life where I'm like, God wants me to witness to that person, and he doesn't. He shuts the door on that person, but then he opens the door for this person. And he does it in the most inopportune times. I mean, there's been times where, you know, I've been real busy and it was going somewhere, and God says, I want you to witness to that person. I want you to share the gospel with that person. And guess what? With the times where I'm disobedient, I feel convicted. because I've sinned and I haven't done what God has wanted me to do. But the times when I actually am obedient to Christ and I say, okay, Christ, give me an opportunity. And I get pumped up about it and I get excited about it. And I go, yes, I get to witness to someone. I get to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone. Then God uses me and he blesses me. And does everybody get saved that I witness to or that I share my faith with? No. But here's the thing. I can walk away from that conversation knowing that I did my job. I did my calling. I did my joy of getting to share the gospel with people. And you say, well, what do I say? Number one, share your story. You say, you've shared this before. And I have shared this before. And I'm going to share this again. Share your story. You say, oh, they're just going to argue with me. No, they can't. They can't argue with what God's done in your life. I mean, he's done it to me. He's done it in my life. It's not a story that I heard about somebody else. He's done it in my life. And so maybe you've been saved. As a child, you got saved. Share your story. Maybe you felt conviction and you gave your heart to Christ at a church service or in just the past year or when you were a kid. Share your story. Share what it was like before you got saved, how you got saved, and then your life after. Share your story. Number two, use the Bible to speak for you. You say, I don't know what scriptures to use. Romans 3:23. You can go to that verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Simply put, everybody sins. People need to hear that. They don't need to hear that, hey, the church is perfect. You know that preacher? I mean, he doesn't do anything wrong. Does anybody believe that? Don't talk to my wife. Everyone sins. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know what that's saying? Sin leads to death. But you know what God did? He gave us the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have eternal life. It's that simple. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what Christ did? He didn't go, hey, clean up, put a suit on, get yourself cleaned up, shave, and then I'll save you. You know what he says? While we were still sinners, while we were still in the pit, while we were still filthy with the sin of our lives, he died for us. Not because we were good, not because we deserved it, but he died so that we might be cleaned up by him and branded for him. Turn the page. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a great verse. Romans 10:9 and 10, and I say it all the time, it's right there, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Two things, confess him as Lord and believe in your heart. A lot of people die and they go to hell by about 18 inches. They got it here. They know all the things about God, they know all the things about life, they know all the things about the Bible, but they don't have it here. And they miss heaven about 18 inches. Listen, people need to know and they need to confess him as Lord, but they also need to know that they've got to believe. They've got to sell out. They've got to surrender their lives to him. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You say, well, okay, Bo, you've given me that. Now what do? Now here's the opportunity. When we walk out the door, this is the time where life really begins. Here's my prayer. Let what we do in here fill the streets out there. It's not about being church people. It's not about, you know, again, coming to church all. I mean, that's all good, and we're called to do that. It's about reaching the people outside of these walls. And so here's my question to you. Will you show them how? Will you show them how? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. You say, why do we have people bow their heads and close their eyes? Here's the only reason that we do that. The only reason is because you can concentrate when you're not distracted. And so we just ask people to close their eyes and just be still so that they can hear from God. Here's my question, and it's for everybody. How many of you guys, by the raising of your hand, nobody's looking around, we're not going to point you out or call you to the front. How many of you guys would say that you're branded for Christ? In other words, you know Christ personally. Would you raise your hand? Great, all across the room. All right, put your hands down. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo, I'm branded for Christ, but I'm not really an ambassador or an evangelist? How many of you guys would be willing to admit that by raising your hand? Yeah, all across the room. You can put them down. Listen, for those of you that that say, you know what, I'm branded. You know what God wants from you? He wants you to see and help others be branded as well. And so here's what I would encourage you to do. If you're a branded Christian, you know Christ personally, here's what I want you to pray right now. God, give me the opportunity to be a witness for you. Show me who it is that you want to see branded and allow me, give me the pleasure of sharing the gospel with them. Maybe you just need to pray that right there in just your heart. Listen, one of these days, I'm going to be dead. One of these days, you're going to be dead. And how many people are you going to take with you to heaven? How many people are going to be in heaven because God used you to see them come to Christ? I don't know about you, but I want to have a bus full. I want to have a train full. So maybe that's your commitment today to Christ. Help me to be ambassador for you. Maybe you're here today and you're arguing in your mind that you have plenty of time to give your life to Christ. I mean, I got plenty of life. I'm only 50. I'm only 15. I mean, I've got plenty of time. Can I just tell you a little secret? There is no certainty of tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. Some of you guys know that better than others. Some of you guys have faced illnesses lately, and you've had, you know, some heart attack or whatever, and you realize that life is short. Listen, maybe that's you, and you're just arguing in your mind, nah, I'm not going to give my life to Christ. I mean, I got too much living to do. I got to live life. Listen, can I just share with you if that's what's going on in your mind? Life doesn't begin until you give your life to Christ. The life that you're living now, you think it's joyful, you think it's great, you think it's peaceful. You have not ever experienced true joy, true peace, and true love until you've experienced the love of Jesus Christ. And so maybe you need to give your life to Him. Maybe you need to confess Him as your Lord today. And you need to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you need to allow Him to come into your life and forgive you. Listen, you can do that right now. Just in your seat. You and God. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's gonna do anything. Maybe just in your seat, you need to say, okay, Lord, I'm giving up. I want to give my life to you today. I want you to come into my life. I confess you as my Lord. And I believe that you're alive. Listen, if you just prayed that, you've made the greatest decision that you'll ever make, and Christ has branded you for life. And guess what? We rejoice with you. We welcome you to the family. And here's the next step. You need to get surrounded by other Christians in this church so that we can help you grow. One of the things that the devil does once somebody gives their life to Christ is he attacks. He hates it. And if you're walking alone, guess what? He will be able to get you down if you're alone. But if you will walk with us, if you will fellowship with us, if you will grow with us, we can walk together stronger than we can apart. And so if you gave your life to Christ today and you made that decision for the first time, we want to know about it. And all we ask you to do is grab one of those orange sheets on the guest table, fill it out, place it in the offering bucket, and we will contact you. We will show you how you can grow in your walk with Christ. Maybe you gave your life to Christ today and you need to come to that round pin class tonight at 5:00 and learn the basics on how to grow in your faith with Christ. I encourage you to do that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to end this and close this in a word of prayer. And when we're done praying, you're free to go. And if you're a first-time guest, we want to give you that guest bag so that you can walk away with it today. And we thank you for being here. Lord, I pray today that there was someone in this room that was branded for you just now. Lord, I thank you that the iron's hot and that we have a short time to see others branded for you. And may you use each of us individually, all of us that know you, that have been branded by you, may you use each of us to be ambassadors for your gospel. Lord, we give you the glory for all that you're doing, and we thank you that the brand is hot, and we pray that you would use us to see others branded as well. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here.